Blog Talk Radio.
What, no music? Oh, well, I got no music. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Lord. You start off the show by burping?
Oh, you heard that?
My Lord. It's going to be one of those type of shows. We lost our budget. Now we have no music.
We have no music. I can't afford it anymore. Oh, well. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy Monday night edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio with your host with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have
the one and only Sean Black. And on the other side is,
Quick, go knock on the bathroom door. Let her know that we're ready for the show. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, Anisha B cannot be with us tonight. She had other arrangements again.
Yes, so hopefully she'll be with us next week, and she'll be able to enjoy her Thanksgiving earlier. So
yeah, she'd be stuffing all right. But besides that, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, thoughts, or feedback, or something you want to vent out about, please give us a call at 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, what time is it?
It's time to piss people off.
Hey, we've done it for 2 weeks in a row. I'm like, hey, let's go for another one.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Please, Sean Black, you've been dying to talk about this story about Missouri University, something that's going on that campus.
Yeah, we didn't have a chance to talk about it because of, like you just said, of all of the craziness that's been going on around the world the last few weeks. So we finally got a chance to talk about something that happened back in about November the 9th. It's around the time when we found out about the Missouri University incidents and the rampant, blatant uses of racism on the campus, and even more so the fact that it didn't look like the faculty really did much, if anything at all, to try to clean it up and make sure that the students felt that they had some sort of say in being on the campus and not being subjected to a lot of the racist garbage that had been going on that campus. And it's been going on for a while, because we all know a lot of campuses in the South, there's still a lot of that old school racism that is perpetuated on the campus, especially by faculty, especially by society where the campuses are. It's still in some areas a way of life to be racist, not just towards blacks, but towards anyone that is not white. So what we had was a situation, which we didn't get a chance to talk to about, as I reiterated a little earlier, was that the campus president of Missouri, he basically was forced to step down based on the fact that there were a number of things that had happened on the campus going back as far as 2010. And this is what led to the president, system president Tim Wolf, his resignation. I'm not going to go all that far back, but some of the things that actually got this thing started. Back in 2010, two white students were had scattered cotton balls outside of Black Culture Center, which we all know, for those that know about what kind of tenets happen with certain racial things that go on. You know, when you talk about cotton balls and anything in the African-American community, we all know that's an aversion toward the slavery and all of the other racist stuff that's happened. So we know about that. We also know that the Michael Ferguson, the Michael Brown incident in Ferguson, Missouri, just last year, didn't help either. But some of the things that actually happened on this campus also, which is in and of itself crazy, I'll give you one instance that really pushed everything over the top. There was an incident on the campus where a swastika was smeared in human feces on the campus. We know the racial divide that happens with something just like that. But what ended up happening was the fact that the campus The students wanted the campus president to do something about this, and nothing was done. It was almost one of those, you know, lay your hands off the situation and let it go. Problem is, as the president of a college, and in a situation like that, when you have a lot of students on the campus, you've got to address it. Now, I'm going to ask you something, Hot Rod. If something like this is happening, and let's say back in your college days when you were going to college, do you think that something should have happened with the campus president, or do you think that the student body would go ahead and say something, or that's the job of the students to get change, or do you think that the higher-ups have to do something about that?
Wow, it's funny. That's the same question I was about to ask you. Like, what do you want the president to do? This is a situation, of course, you know, if you want to go by the right term, everyone should be involved. I mean, yes, the president should make make some notification about it. But I think it's the job of the students to enforce it, because one man could do so much, and there's been so many incidents that have been happening. I mean, I guess he's trying to brush at least the table, but they do that all the time. So overall, I think it's the job of the students. They should have to take action. Don't point. Yes, the president is the leader. Yes, he's in charge of that. And yes, he should have some floor about it. But what can one man do to stop all this? Is what? I'm just throwing out numbers. 5,000 students? I mean, what are you doing?
Probably a lot more than that, but I get your point, yeah.
You know, like, it's like so much you can do. I mean, you can put, hey, if you get caught, you get suspended, but these younger generations, they don't care. If you really think about it. So if I caught Sean upon a thesis or the swastika on somebody on a Jewish door, all right, kick you out. You know, another hate crime? I'll go press charges on you? They don't care.
I'm noticing something that's happening now that we didn't notice before. If you would have said this maybe 5 years ago, you would be completely right. But what we're starting to see now is a trend of a sort of like a social consciousness that's starting to evolve. And we're starting to see now people that know that certain things have to be done as far as human rights are concerned, as far as about just rights of students, of people in general. And they're starting to now mobilize and starting to get things done. How this got started was this way. There was a student by the name of Jonathan Butler who started a hunger strike because there was a group of students called the Concerned Student 1950, which is supposed to be named for all of the African-American students that were first admitted to the university. They had a list of demands that wanted to be met to make sure that these kinds of incidents didn't happen anymore. As I told you, there were a few instances that I didn't even talk about that were in here that were just as egregious. And they basically wanted an apology from the president of the college, his removal from office, and a more comprehensive racial awareness and inclusion curriculum to be overseen by minority students and faculty. And then there was no response. Then there was the instance that happened a couple of days before, after there was another incident. A lot of the protesters on the college actually blocked the president's car and got him so that he would refuse to get out of the car and then address the students. And he never really did anything. And that was taken by, obviously, people that are looking at through the media, that the team president didn't care, thought of it as something that would just go away. It's something that's not supposed to happen. Butler, as I just stated, he stays a hunger strike. And then on top of that, the school football team got involved. Now, when you have a football team, we know, as we've talked about before, how many millions and millions of dollars that these teams, athletic teams, make for the campus college and their the way that they try to run the college and where that money is going in and being filtered into. They were going to forfeit their game against BYU that weekend. And if they missed that game, that would have been a $1 million loss of money. So keep that in mind. And that's when everything got together, when loss of money was involved. is when something happened, and that change helped get everything going, and that exacerbated the situation.
So people are taking a stand, and now action has been taken in place because the students are taking action?
It worked. It seems to have worked. See, this is the thing that we talked about before. And in the past, we've had people that have called up the show or people that have given us questions and find out, well, what can people do to change, to affect change, to make sure certain things happen, atrocities don't happen. Well, one of the things is unity. All of the players involved, including the head coach on that team, were unified in the situation to say, look, we're standing behind our fellow students because these kinds of atrocities just cannot continue. On a campus that has so many students, something has to change. Something has to be done. And this is one of those things that had to have been done. And I think we might start, hopefully, seeing a little bit of a movement where we're seeing more social conscious involved with the student body and a little more social sensitivity towards race on college campuses, which we know is far from being solved. But at least we're having a start somewhere.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was watching TV while you were talking. But
I understand.
But it's not just that college. I know there's been like a little racist trending going on with these college campuses. So where this thing came from? Out of nowhere.
Yeah. And these are the things that have happened in general. This has just gotten to the point where it's to the media. What we don't normally see as often is, as you just said, it seems to have come out of nowhere. But these kinds of things kind of sneak up on you when it happens on a regular basis. And this has happened a lot, especially in a lot of the southern colleges, like an Auburn, like an Alabama, like a Texas or somewhere in Florida. A lot of those Bible Belt area schools that have a big following of boosters that are from that old school white mentality that we are used to hearing about from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And then you hear about in politics where you hear some of the people talk about we want our country back. And we know that that's code to the way it used to be. White people on top, other races not as powerful, not as big a voice, and subservient to a certain degree. And those days ended a long time ago. But you have a lot of these college campuses that have a lot of money pouring in from other interests that don't want this to change.
Oh, okay. So now they build a movement. Yippee-ki-yay. I'm still not impressed by this.
So what do you think should have been done? If something like this happens on a regular basis, what do you think would be the better situation to get this going? Because I think that this is, like I said, this is just one of the smaller things that have happened, and that movement works. And we need to see more of at least something. And this is one of those things that happened. So what do you think is, if this isn't impressive to you?
What made it work is what you stated earlier, the football game. Mm. Go to their pockets, hurt their pockets. If you hurt their pockets, people will be aware of that because money talks and BS walks. I mean, the hunger strike, I don't care about the hunger strike. Go ahead, starve yourself. I starve myself all the time because I can't afford to eat. So what's the difference? I fed them in their pockets any way you can. So the football, I give credit to that.
Yeah.
The marching and protesting, no. And Milton Nash will say, always affect the white man's pocket. When you affect the white man's pocket, change might happen, or there'd be some type of awareness. That's the way I see it.
And you know what? That's in that sense, 100% correct. And the reason why, like you just stated, $1 million to any school that is in the NCAA that tends to profit hand over fist with any athletic competition, athletic team involved, if you can pull money out of there and hurt them in the bottom line, that definitely is going to affect change. Because I guarantee you, that president before all of this happened, he wasn't going to do a thing. And until, one, the campus was embarrassed because of what was going on, then the media got hold of all of the other atrocities that were going on, and then the fact that the football team was going to stand united against this and look out for their college on paper, that looks great, but it has to actually go through. And the thing that pushed them over the top was the fact that the football team got involved. $1 million fine, potentially, you could lose out on a lot of income. Nobody wants to lose money for their boosters and for their team. So that definitely helped.
And my producer just texted me that money rules the world. When
yeah,
it comes out to money,
that's where we live in.
When it comes out to money, people talk and people listen. So, but this is not the first time, as you said earlier, these things have happened. So why does racism as are happening now? That's my main question. Why do we have awareness right now? Because of social media? Why would we not have social media? Would people have care for this story?
I'm not sure as that's the right question to ask. I don't think it's a matter of would the people care. The question I think that should be asked is, why isn't it being brought up more often? And the things that are coming out of these types of stories is that we're starting to see, like you said, social media in certain instances is actually really good, because it brings light to certain things that we're not aware of. And in some instances, social media does a better job of broadcasting the news than the news itself. In some instances, the news gets its news from social media. But something like this would have happened in the 50s and the 60s. You would have had a lot of people going out and hitting, as they say, hitting the ground walking, getting petitions, picketing, going out and causing certain strife, sit-ins. Causing a lot of havoc, so to speak, to try to get everything going. And in our time and what we see with social media now, this is becoming the new mobilization to get a movement going. And it works if it's done the right way. The same way we talked about all those months ago with the ALS challenge, where people would dump ice water on each other, and then they would donate money for ALS, and then they would challenge somebody else. That got to about, I believe, $15 or $20 million in donations for ALS, which is a very good cause to stop ALS and Lou Gehrig's disease. This is how social media helps. Same thing here. Social media got a hold of this, and they ran with it. And then that got pushed toward the news, and it got even more of a groundswell. And then the sports part about it, that got to ESPN and all of the other sports news outlets, and that really blew everything way up.
Okay, do you see yourself years from now living in the South?
I don't see myself living in the South, and it's nothing about the South. It's just I'm from up here, Northeast. I'm a city guy. That's just me.
I have a question, because all the stories that we have talked on the show in the past, mm-hmm, seem like it happened in the South, Texas, when the cop threw that girl over at that pool party,
mm-hmm,
like a Brown situation, the guy that got the mass shooting at the church in South Carolina, the cop that shot the black guy in the back in South Carolina. Seems like all this racial tension is happening in the South. I'm sure there's racial tension up in the North, too.
Yeah.
Nothing compared to the South, like back to the slavery days.
And I think the reason why that is because a lot of the racial issues that happen seem to always have a little bit of a religious slant, from the sense that a lot of the people that are doing this, they consider themselves evangelical Christians, or they consider themselves people that are of the Bible. And they feel in their mind that certain things that happen are happening because God told them that they should do certain things. We've heard a lot of people, a lot of real racist animals, go out there and say that certain things that are done because God said so. So you hear a lot of those same deep-rooted religious reasons. That's why they call a lot of those areas the Bible Belt, you know, Mississippi, you know, South Carolina, North Carolina, Texas and Tennessee and all of those areas. And they have a lot of the same issues, where a lot of people still say, well, God thinks that black people are inferior, or and people that spew a lot of that stuff. And they use the Bible in a lot of instances to try and to kind of make themselves sound better and try to rationalize a lot of their racism. So that's where a lot of those things happen. You don't hear about it as much up north because it's kind of a different kind of racism. But the racism that's down in certain areas of the South and in the Midwest and in other areas away from where we are, it's a completely different animal. Once you get past, like, Pennsylvania and you go right into the South and see what happens with there.
Okay. Talk about religion. I'm glad you brought that up because it's time to talk about religion for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
You know, religion is like a, how can I say the right words without pissing people off?
I don't think there's a proper way that you can, you being the hot rod, you're going to piss someone off anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd be happy to tell you that I'm from a Protestant family descent. And the hot rod himself did not believe in organized religion. And I will explain to that later on, but Sushant Black, last we talked about terrorism and religion and Paris attacks and everything. What do you see the connection between religion and terrorism? And do you think they are a perfect marriage?
Well, here's the thing. The differences there are, it's something that I actually heard some time ago, about maybe a few days ago. Terrorism has no religion, but terrorists do. And the reason why I'm going to bring that up is because terrorism that we've all talked about is pretty much an ideology to exploit somebody through terror and fear, to exploit somebody's fear to get to some kind of goal, whatever that goal is. Whether it's a religious goal, whether it's a financial goal, whatever it is. Religion is supposed to be an ideology of faith within oneself and within a particular deity, whether it's Jesus, whether it's Allah, whether it's any god that anybody worships through either a Bible or a Quran or a Torah or any religious text. And that belief is going into the core values of a particular person. Now, you can interpret whatever the religion is to your own benefit and use that as kind of like a guideline for your own life. Terrorists that have their own particular way around that are trying to use that. And in a lot of instances, they bastardize a particular religion to get their own needs done. And that's the problem.
Well, like the Jehovah's Witnesses think they think they're better than the Jews. The Jews think they're better than the Muslims. Muslims think they're better than the Christians. The Christians think they're better than the Catholics. And whoops, sorry. I almost knocked out my drink. Oh, God forbid. Ooh,
yeah, God forbid that happens.
You know. And that's my religion, is the drinking.
Oh, boy. But, the religion of the real spirits for you, huh?
Oh, yes, the Holy Spirit. Well, you know that all these terror attacks, I just don't understand it, how in the Ten Commandments, you have one of them, shall not kill, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know something about the Ten Commandments. But we have these guys killing in the name of Allah or their God or whatever God they worship. How can you kill someone but still praise the man upstairs at the same time? Isn't that an oxymoron?
And you're right. And a lot of religions, first and foremost, as we know, for a lot of people, the Muslim faith is not about war and killing and all that other stuff. The Muslim religion is mostly about peace, self-discovery, being true within oneself, and that's one of the things that a lot of religions teach. The problem is that there are a lot of people out there that take certain religions and liberties with certain religions, and they apply it to their own benefit for their own gain. And that's the issue here. When you hear about terrorist incidents, just in this last calendar year, there have been reported 290 terrorist incidents. When you figure out that a majority of these quote-unquote terrorist incidents have some basis in some kind of a religious, I guess a religious reasoning, or maybe a slight because of religion or a perceived religious slant, and then the media gets a hold of it, then you got a lot of issues. And that's part of the problem, because then you have terrorists and you have a lot of people doing these atrocities, and they give a wrong representation to what a particular religion is all about. And then you get a generalization or a stereotyping of a particular religion, and that is not what that particular religion is supposed to be based on. And that's the problem that we have today with a lot of these religious sects that have been going on and a lot of the incidents that have been happening in the world the last few weeks that we've been listening to, like the hotel incident that happened in Mali, or what happened in Paris, or what happened in Kenya back in September and earlier in the year in April. A lot of those things that have happened, they're preying on fear. And a lot of that fear is issued in by the fact that they want to prey on people who are probably religious, some people that aren't, and generate fear to get a goal. And that's what they're trying to do.
Well, my producer had texted me and said that the Quran says infidels can be killed if they don't submit. What do you think about that?
That if that is particularly in the Quran, that jives against a lot of people's thought processes. But here's the thing. Everybody that follows a particular religion, there are a lot of people, as I stated, that don't follow every religion to the T, exactly how it's read in a particular text. It depends on that person, and it depends on, I guess, their temperament, how they were raised, and what they value from that particular religion. Now, I've never read it, so I can't speak on what's in the book or how anybody should govern themselves or anything along that line, so I can't fairly speak to that. But as far as certain religions that are there, a lot of people take a lot of these religions out of context, and then they apply certain things to themselves so that they have a rationalization for a lot of the things that they do or want to do. That's part of the issue. That's part of the main problem that we've had.
Okay, so do you believe in religion?
Could you repeat that?
Do you believe in religion?
I myself am not a particularly religious person. I've always been of the belief that religion is great for people that actually subscribe to a religion, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Protestant, Catholic, Episcopalian, which is the denomination I was raised in as a child growing up. And as you get old enough to make your own decisions, you can make a decision on whether a particular religion is for you or not. My personal belief is that although religion is great, it's just not for me. That's just me. I think that religion can be great for people that follow it because it gives you a template for what you should do focus-wise with your life if you so choose to pick that. I will also never besmirch anyone of any religion if they feel a particular way, if that's how they're raised, if that's what their core belief system is, then that's perfectly for you. The problem is you have a lot of people that are of a religion that try to push their religion onto you. And I know we've talked about this before over the years, where we've met many people that have either pushed a religion or a religious thought process on somebody involuntarily. And that can actually be a jumping point for certain people.
Okay. Well, we have Ms. Jones on the line right now. Ms. Jones.
What's up?
Hey there.
Hey.
How you doing?
You sound tired just like the rest of us. You sound tired just like us.
No, I'm hungry. I need to eat.
Okay. All right. Talk about hungry. Do you have a religion? Ms. Jones?
I'm sorry? Repeat
that. Do you have a religion?
I'm spiritual. I believe good and get good. Good in, good out.
So you're much more into, like, karma, somewhere mm-hmm. along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And how do you feel about terrorism and religion? Like, people who use terror use religion.
I think that's just something that people try to scapegoat through. That's it. Because, like I said, when we was talking about the Muslims, we had a lot of people saying the Nation of Islam didn't support violence or they're not about violence or, you know. So when it comes to terrorism, that's like one of the main things we always hear. So it's like, which is it? Because that religion is really being associated with terrorism. So, yeah.
Okay. K-Dog is in the house now.
Hey, everybody. Good evening. Good evening. How's everybody doing?
Professor
hey.
K-Dog.
Hey.
What's
hey.
Up?
Hey, what's
so, K-Dog.
Yeah.
Well, like I asked Sean Black earlier, people that worship religion go out and kill people or blow themselves up. But the Ten Commandments shall not kill. Is that
right.
oxymoron or that's right, wrong, or things change over the years that we don't know about because we don't follow religion that much?
Well, the thing is, first up, let me just say this. Like, when it comes to the biggest powers of the world, and I've said this before, it's between politics and religion. Now, when it comes to the religion, this is the thing. Remember, religion is man-made. People tend to take religion and twist it and turn it around and turn it into their very own type of opinion. Now, with that being said, like, for those of us who read the Bible, in the Old Testament, God did give his word to Moses, you know, and one of the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not kill. But in every religion, and I will say this, in every religion, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, and like you said before, in this country, with all the racism that's going on, many of those racists, especially in the South, are Bible-thumping Christians. And some of those Bible-thumping Christians are members of the Ku Klux Klan. Now,
so,
we all know the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah,
has,
I know the KKK. I'm part of the KKK,
right,
but carry
right.
on.
No,
but,
brother.
Okay, remember, these are the same people who burn churches, and you're saying that you're a Christian? I will say this. They're adding their own thing. I will answer your question. I'm answering it now. People add their own thing because you know why? How is it that, okay, if you're saying that you're a firm believer, that you're a Bible-thumping Christian, then you shouldn't be burning down churches. Then you shouldn't be having hatred towards other people. And now, when it comes to the non-Christian religion, like the Muslim faith, see, over the years since 9/11, the Muslim painted with a brush of evil. People are looking at Muslims, and Muslims have been getting a bad rap. And the Quran does talk about peace. No Muslim is allowed to join the armed forces. But now you have these renegade Muslims who speak terrorism because you know what? Like I said, religion is a man-made thing. And people, you know, once, you know, if you were born into a religion, like me, for example, I was born and raised a Catholic. But now I look at things differently now, and, you know, I'm much more liberal. Everyone is born with the religion, but then after, you have those who take it to the extreme with their opinion. Like, oh, this is what it says. No, it didn't say that. No, the book didn't say that. Oh, this is what it says. And I mean, yes, thou shalt not kill, people shall follow. But, however, like I said, people in different religions, like whether you're Christian or non-Christian, you have renegades in both. And that's my answer.
All right, very true. But my question, here's my question for everyone. With religion, was anybody there when Jesus Christ was there?
Well, if they were, they're not alive, that's for sure.
The reason why I say that is because, yes, people go by something they call the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, and I guarantee you, that the Bible has been changed many times over the 3,000 years that have been processed. I'm sure they changed the words, they changed some stories here and there. So the reason why I told what I said that I don't believe in organized religion, the way I was raised, I believe there's a God, I believe there's a Jesus, because that's the way I was raised. But to tell me that we could do this but can't do that, could eat fish on this day but cannot eat meat on another day, I don't believe in any of that because that's all part of the market, of making business. no one, none of us was there at that time. So Sean Black cannot come up to me and tell me, Rodney, you cannot eat meat on Fridays. Who are you to tell me that? You know. So you tell me, you tell me on Fridays I cannot eat meat. If I eat meat, I'd be a sinner. I'm going to hell. So I might as well go kill somebody. It's not a question and answers, of course, that we may never know. It's just like, I just can't, I don't like when people, like Sean said earlier, you this is your belief, fine, but to, for you to force it on me to believe in your belief, or because I'm Jewish and your Muslim, you hate me because of my religion belief, it's not good. I thought we were supposed to love one another.
And that's a good, that's a good reason why a lot of things happen in the world is because of that. Is somebody's interpretation of a particular religion. If they feel that a certain thing should not happen or should happen because of what was written in a book 3,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago or however old a particular book is, then you have the issues that happen when you see a country being taken over by a particular dictator, or you see a particular land that has been claimed as holy being taken over by another group of people that feel that, that the people that are in that holy land don't belong there, or a particular group of people that feel that they deserve to exist just because they need to exist, and the other people don't feel that you should exist because of that same reason. Those are the kinds of things that have such strife involved. There's so many different religions and so many different sub-religions within the, a particular people, and then the wars that they have within them, within their lands and within this, it's so intricate. And any small deviance from it can set off a particular land, a country, a city, a town. And you never know how long that will last. The Crusades lasted, what, 1,000 years?
Yeah.
And more people died in the name of religion through the Crusades than any other war that's ever been on this planet. So we don't know what can come about religious, any religious background, anything that's happened religion-wise. And when you see the number of people that are dying, on, when you look at the news and you hear, well, 100 people were killed this time, and it was 30 people here, or 50 people in a mall, these kinds of things happen, and a lot of it is over religion. And one may... Yeah, go ahead.
So why are we at war with religion? Because at work, I had a Russian Jew, a Catholic, and I'm a Protestant, and we were arguing with each other. I'm like, look at us, guys. We argue about religion, but we all agreeing to argue that our religion is full of it to a certain degree. Why we have all these different religions, but technically speaking, we have one God?
And that's where the oxymoron comes in when we talk about a lot of religions, because the thought process, if you're a theologian, if you're in college and you read texts and go and you read certain things, you're usually taught that although religions differ when it comes to a lot of different facets, as you just stated, they're in, for the most part, are supposed to be, I guess, one God. I don't know if there are certain religions that have more than one or a particular ideology that's different from them. But other than that, that's what is taught. Each one is taught that each religion is supposed to be about peace and enlightenment and help you become a better person through your lifetime. And what we're seeing now more than ever is that a lot of people, there are groups of people that are out there that are going to take that for what it is, twist it around, and then they're going to use it for their own gain and try to scare people and harm and kill and maim. And that's what the issue is. Like I just said earlier, terrorism has no religion, but certain terrorists do. And that's the problem.
Exactly.
So, Ms. Jones,
as I said,
do you...
No, go ahead. No, I was saying, that's why I was saying it's like religion is being used to scapegoat individuals. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say, I guess personal.
Their agenda, I think, is what you're
looking for. Exactly. So it's like you know, let's manipulate Skago because I want to basically have power, and, you know, and that's just basically what it's being used for. So that's my little. Well, what did you want to ask me?
No, no, I have a quick little story that when I got my son baptized in a Catholic church, I'm not gonna lie, I've not been to a Catholic church in years. So I go in. Mm-hmm. So me, baby mama, and my family went to the church, and you know they came around for the offering, like maybe 30, 40 minutes before the service was over. No problem. I gave money. Then 10 minutes later, they sang a song again, and they came back collecting money. I'm like, wait a minute, how many times you gonna come around collecting money for a 1 hour service? I was like, excuse me? And I see people writing checks again. I'm like, you just gave something already. Not like new people came into the church. It was, it was the same people that I saw an hour ago, almost 10 minutes left, are the same people now. And not like they did in the beginning and at the end. It was like almost back to back. So I'm like, okay. So the reason I brought that up is, it's funny how we all have, most people have their religion, and they give money to, like, Crespo Dollar. Sean, you know, Sean knows I love that.
Oh,
man,
yeah, your favorite, Mr.
Crespo
Dollar.
And, you know, you got the Vatican, they're living good, but you got the people who have faith in religion and their God, they like the working class or the poor. It's funny how you have pastors, deacons, the Pope, I will even say the Pope, living a better life. Well, the people who you are preaching to are living a poor life, give or take. They're the ones giving the money to you. Can someone explain that to me?
Well, see, that's a big thing. We talked about this months ago when we were talking about your favorite Creflo Dollar. basically, when it comes to that facet of religion, and I've spoken to the good things that have happened with churches, that they do collect money and help, as you said, help the poor, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, that kind of deal. But see, there are those religions, and not necessarily religions per se, but those within a particular religion that take advantage of that. And those are the ones that you have to avoid, not the religion itself, but the people involved in it. There are always going to be a few people that only have dollar bills on their mind, and those are the ones you have to deal with.
Okay. Mind if I say this? Oh, sorry for interrupting, Hot Rod. But when it comes to religion, and I'm glad you guys brought that up about money and religion, like I said, many of these religious leaders are being financed by whom? The people. Like you mentioned, Creflo Dollar. There are many of these televangelists who have mega churches, super mega churches, and they're making tons of money. I mean, those churches are so big that the ordinary folk are not allowed in their church. Some churches, I learned that, like Creflo Dollar, you have to have a W-2 form because they want to know how much you're making in order to join their church.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And all churches are tax exempt. So
yeah, they are.
The tithings that they get to keep. And that goes right into the church. And that's the way a lot of these churches are.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking right now, Sean Black? I should
millions of dollars?
Open a church. No, I should open a church of the Hot Rod.
Oh, boy.
Hey.
Oh, my God.
I'm a good preacher. Hey,
you know, I'm going to look into that, and I'm going to see where you can go with that. Just to look, and I'll humor you. And during the week, I'll try and find out what I can find out. And if I find out something by next week, I'll bring it up on the show, and then and we'll see what happens. And, you know, maybe you could get some money out of this.
Hey, you know, there will be drinking at this church. There will be a little bit of music at this church. Wait a minute, it sounds like a party hall. But besides that, let's go to something serious. How do you guys feel about the latest ISIS threat towards the U.S.?
You mean the latest one about the Washington, D.C.?
Yes, and Times Square. But...
Yeah. Wow. Well, the whole thing is this, is that, you know, everybody knows that they're scare tactics. And, you know, whenever you put out a scare tactic, people are going to be scared, people are going to panic, and you know what? And it couldn't have come at a far interesting time, especially during this time of the year when you know that people are going to be traveling all over the place. That's what I'm thinking about. I mean,
yeah.
No, there's all kinds of, you know, when it comes to terrorism, you know, especially comes propaganda, scare tactics, and you know what? Some people give in to it. I'm not sure if you guys understand, but you know what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. As you said before, when it comes to these terror groups, ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and Boko Haram and all these other these groups, they not only do they prey on fear, but as you just stated before, they're now modernized themselves where they're trying to make it, you know, cool and hip to be some kind of terrorist.
Exactly.
And they're going on social media.
Yes,
and if you also notice the dates that they're picking for these things, they seem to be doing it in a way that it's remembered, like 9/11. No,
right.
Everybody knows 911 is supposed to be a number that you call for
an
information
emergency.
For an emergency, to call the police, to call a fire department.
Right.
That was probably purposely done. And if you think about it now, we're now 14 and a half years later.
Yeah.
And that's all anybody can really, in the burn into their minds. 9/11 means something completely different.
Exactly.
Now you have Friday the 13th.
Exactly.
You know, Friday the 13th. Exactly. What happened in Paris? And you know, with what happened in Paris and what happened in Mali. I mean, in Lebanon, all these things. Like I said, these terrorist groups. I mean, and I will say this. And I've said it before, you have homegrown terrorism growing in your own backyard. That's something that we're not looking at. I mean, we look overseas and see terrorism, but also what about the terrorists that are living right here? We don't know who our neighbors are. We really don't.
At least we used to way back when before.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, there was a time when you were in your own neighborhood where you would be able to go ahead and just say, I know this person since I was a kid. We used to go over to their house and all that kind of thing. And
right.
Now it's like you don't know who your neighbors are, and with the hysteria and the paranoia that's going on with all of this fear-mongering that we keep seeing through the media, people are now becoming a little bit more apprehensive of, well, who's this person? Who's that? We heard Donald Trump talk about during a rally that he had, well, we need to check all the mosques, and we need to do this, and we need to send everybody back.
And I disagree 100% because
exactly.
You know what? It's not, you know what it is? Not all the terrorists are Muslim. You have Christian terrorists, too. You have people out there, you know, who look like regular Joes. Was Timothy McVeigh a Muslim? No. Timothy McVeigh was no Muslim.
Well,
this was someone who had a... And yeah, go ahead, Hot Rod.
Since we're talking about terrorism, Ms. Jones, do you know that this past year over 1,000 people have been killed by cops and only 9 people have been killed by ISIS?
Mm-hmm. What?
Only 9 Americans have been killed by ISIS so far, and over 1,000 people have been killed by police officers.
Mm.
So, should we be very concerned about ISIS?
I've seen some articles where they've actually termed police officers as terrorists, like they're terrorizing the people they're supposed to protect.
I personally wouldn't want to turn this into the blue wall of terror, but I don't think that's the case. I still believe that there are many more good cops in this state and in this country than there are bad cops. The problem is when the bad cops do something, it's so over the top egregious, you can't help but look at it. And
that's
the problem. And I don't want anybody to think that just because there are a bunch of idiot cops that are out there that do it, that this is the entirety of the police force. Because that's just far from being the case.
Yeah. It
plenty
happens.
Of great cops that care about their neighborhoods, that care about the people that they're trying to protect.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to do whatever they can. But there are those small little rogue cops out there that probably we don't know about, whether it's something ingrained, something that they were raised with. And I would not even want to associate the word terror with police. That
well,
would make no sense to me.
Well, what I could say is this, is that, you know, with law enforcement, it's not always about the uniform itself. It's who's wearing that uniform. It's the individual in that uniform, because the individual who wears that uniform, if you were already born with the mindset, you're going to have that mindset is going to increase once you put that uniform on, because you know what? When you put that uniform on, it's like you have power. Like, oh, wow, I got myself a gun, I got the stick, and I got handcuffs. I could do whatever it is I want. Let me put me in the neighborhood, and I'll show them what's up. And that's what happens.
Okay.
That power. It's a power thing.
Ms. Jones, do you agree or disagree?
In terms of?
Oh, with K-Dog.
K-Dog, what is that?
Oh, my goodness, you missed the whole point.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
All right, let's roll that footage again. Rewind it, come again. Like I said like this. Now, you know, when it comes to the police officers, especially when it comes to brutality, there are something that you have to look at, a picture you have to look at. It's not always about the uniform. It's the individual who wears the uniform, because when an individual has a certain mindset, once they put that uniform on, they have a gun, they have a badge, they have a stick. It's like that power is there. They become like something like, wow, I could do whatever it is I want and get away with it. I could be whatever neighborhood. I got that power. I got that gun. I got that stick. I could unleash any type of fury on anybody and get away with it.
Okay.
And that's the thing that's going on.
So, but you kind of contradicted, because it's like you said, it's not about the uniform, but everything that you listed is a part of the uniform.
No, but
so it is about the uniform.
It's about the individual in the uniform, the individual. That's what I mean to say.
I think it's about the uniform, because I honestly believe that there are a majority of individuals, once they put on that uniform, no matter how wholesome and, you know, whatever they are, that uniform, day in and day out, them putting it on, it changes them. Now, if it changes them to be bad or good, that's, you know, me personally, I just think it changes them overall.
So the differences that you guys are going on is, at least from what I'm hearing, is that K-Dog is thinking that this is individual that is the problem, where Ms. Jones, you think it's something systematic.
Yeah, I think once they, because I mean, like I said, I'm sure there's like not a handful, I'm sure there's a bunch of officers that, you know, they want to be good and they want to be great and they've always wanted to do good and be great by the people and serve and protect, but it's like putting on the uniform day in and day out, and then another variable is like based on the environment that they're in, it compounds. So let's just say like I'm always working in a neighborhood where they're always pissing me off or whatever. Every day I put on my uniform and my badge and my gun, it's like I get a little braver or a little cockier or whatever when I go out there. So I'm going to talk to the civilians a little rougher or a little more disrespectful. You know what I mean? So I just feel like that's what tends to happen.
Okay.
Okay, wow, Ms. Jones is on point.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Oh, my
Why,
goodness.
Thank you.
Yes.
I like how you said it.
So, with the holidays coming along, so New York, this past weekend in New York, NYPD did their practice test, you know, they drilled. In other case, the terror attacks happened. Do you think is enough what they're doing right now, or should they find more ways? Or bottom line, can you really stop a terrorist attack if it's going to happen in the U.S.?
Well, let's really call it what it is.
Yes,
we haven't had anything major along the lines of 9/11 happened in New York since 9/11. We've had attempts. We had somebody try to blow something up in Times Square.
Yeah,
we had a guy try to blow up a plane by putting a bomb in his sneaker. We had a guy try to blow up a plane with a bomb in his underwear that didn't go off. Other than those that we know of, because mind you, they don't tell you everything. Not everything has been cleared and unclassified. So we don't know what's been busted up that we don't know about. But in general, we haven't had any issues happen on our country, on our homeland, especially in the New York, New Jersey, tri-state area, or anywhere along the eastern seaboard.
Let's not forget there was also the bombing in Boston with the marathon.
And we had the Boston massacre.
Yeah,
and
Boston bombing.
Yeah, and we haven't had anything along those lines very often. So it seems to be working. But just in the New York area, I'll say, just outside of 9/11 and some of the things that have happened, that could have happened, that did not happen, they've been doing a pretty good job of it. Can you stop all terrorism? Of course not. Because at some point, something eventually will happen one day. The question is, are they prepared enough? Do they have the preparedness to make sure that whatever happens has been kept to a minimum loss of life or minimum casualties, to make sure nobody gets killed, a minimal of injuries, and to make sure that things continue to work and people can communicate when something happens.
Exactly. They've been doing that. They've been up to date because, I got to give it to law enforcement that they've been practicing, that they've been trying to keep everything safe, especially with the installation of cameras and all these other gadgets, some of the protection you might not know about. But like I said, once again, we do have homegrown terrorists here in our backyard that we don't know about. So that's why it's always best to be on alert about certain things.
Okay.
You understand what I'm, you know?
Yeah. Well, we got like maybe 10 minutes left because of the early show tonight. I want to talk about Charlie Sheen for a minute.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, good old Charlie Sheen. As we all know, as we discussed last week, he had a little problem, an HIV problem,
Just a little problem.
He's
a
little, yeah.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I just want somebody to explain this Tiger Blood thing to me. Is this like, what did he do with Tiger Blood? Or is Tiger Blood like a term for something else? Like, what happened?
That was his term for being, I'm strong, I'm invincible. It's all tiger blood, That was that's what
in Charlie Sheen's language.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then again,
okay,
he did take a lot of drugs, so he might have been drinking tiger blood. We don't never
know. A lot of women said like this, it couldn't have been from them because apparently, yes, the drugs, drugs does give, there are many drugs out there, especially heroin, when you're taking dirty needles, you can catch the AIDS virus from there.
Well, who knows how he got it, but the victims, he had unprotected sex for all these years with a lot of females. Now, do you feel sorry for Charlie Sheen, or do you think he's a scumbag, or should we even care about what happened to him at all?
Okay. This is where this question is floated around. I've heard a couple times, like on TV and certain other areas. I'll say this. I don't feel sorry for Charlie Sheen in the sense that he brought a lot of this on himself with his risky behavior, with the fact that he was on so many drugs, with a lot of different people. He was spending upwards of $20,000 to $30,000 a day on strippers, porn stars, both male and female, unprotected. He said this himself. There was a lot going on. And when you're doing those kinds of things and those people have power over you as far as the knowledge of what they were doing, he ended up having to be blackmailed. That's the only reason why he came forward in the first place. his personal matters, and that's the only thing that I feel sorry for, is the fact that his personal life was thrown out there in the press and was about to get released. I think it was the National Enquirer was going to run an expose on it. So he got ahead of the story before it really blew up. But he'd been holding on to it for 4 years. Lord knows what he was doing in those 4 years. And that was around the time when the whole Tiger Blood thing was coming out there. So you can kind of almost figure out when he found out. And even though he found out 4 years ago, who's to say he might have had it years before that?
Yeah, because with that reckless lifestyle, I mean, when you live in that kind of a reckless lifestyle, I mean, no risk and, you know, doing drugs and having all these women and, you know, sexing and all of that, yeah, it catches up with you.
It is a sad situation.
It is.
But what can he do to redeem himself? He said he wants to try and find a cure for AIDS. I'm like, really?
That's
you have to remember, as prefaced before this, that Charlie Sheen has been using a lot of hardcore drugs for a very long time. And the one thing that if you listen to people that deal with people that have drug addicts is that you can't really believe anything they say. So you have to take with a grain of salt a lot of the things that he is saying, and he's going to need a lot of help to make sure that he gets off of these drugs to make sure that he can stay clean enough to be able to contribute, because he has children. He's got grandchildren now. He has to be able to stay alive long enough to be in their lives. And when he's clean and he's sober, he's one of the best actors out there, because I've seen him in a lot of movies, and he's a very entertaining actor. He's spot on. The problem
is he is
now chemically dependent on being high all the time, and that self-destructive behavior has to cease, or he won't be alive long enough to be able to enjoy any of the things in life that he's doing.
Okay. So, Ms. Jones, so the ladies or the hookers or the escorts or whatever had sex with them, should they sue Charlie Sheen for not telling them that he have HIV?
Yeah.
Mhm. But is it is it against the law to not to tell people that you have HIV, something like
Apparently
that?
Apparently so. They're trying, because I think this guy, because the thing is, they said once you know. And, like, once you know, you're supposed to disclose it, apparently. But I don't even know how they're going about that, because it's like, do the cops come and see what you and say, okay, you got to call everybody you fucking, like, I don't know how they actually, you know, go about it. But I just saw an article, like, this guy, he exposed 14 women to HIV, and apparently he's going to be doing some time, so.
Yeah, because you're a loaded weapon. You're basically walking around with a disease cocktail, and if you're not covering up what you need to cover up, and you're basically going unprotected, having sex with different people, and you're spreading the disease willingly, that's definitely something that you should be jailed for, period.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Last question before we go away. The holidays are upon us, and you guys know how much I hate the holidays, but I'd like to know, are any of you guys doing Black Friday?
I do Cyber Monday.
The best thing to do if you're going to Black Friday, here's what you do. Go ahead and buy yourself a football helmet with a face mask and buy yourself some shoulder pads, because guess what? You're going to be getting tackled by the door.
Exactly.
After all the things that we've seen on the news of people going through, it's ridiculous.
It gets ugly. People get ugly during that day. I mean, it gets really ugly. I suggest don't do it at your own risk.
The ideal behind Black Friday brings out the worst in humans.
Oh, my goodness.
If you've seen, here's the funny thing. England has recently, within the last, let's say, the last 5 years, kind of adopted the Black Friday motif. They've been doing Black Friday also. And they had, I believe it was last year, the year before, there's a video of somebody being trampled in a department store over a television. And they just trampled this person, grabbed the TV from the person that was on the ground, and went to pay for it. I mean, these are the kinds of things that happen.
I've seen, I saw an even worse thing. This happened in the Target upstate. The doors opened, and the people were holding up. Why? Because there was this poor man on the ground. I mean, they just trampled on top of him.
Yeah.
They had to carry him up because he was out of it. He had the wind knocked out of him. And there was another one where I think a lady got her leg broken, but her wig fell off, and she tried to put it back on. And
I think the last thing she should be thinking about is her wig.
Yeah, that. Oh, my goodness. People get,
so
I mean,
was,
they get.
So in other words, Black Friday is not what it used to be anymore, and it's not worth
no.
it at all.
Black Friday doesn't – you want to know why? Because these corporations now, they are so into one-upping the other person, one-upping the other business, that it's not even Black Friday anymore.
Nope,
We're dipping now into the latter half of Thanksgiving now. Nobody even takes Black – you know, Black Friday, what it used to be was the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. When Santa was coming down, that was the beginning of the shopping season.
Exactly.
People were ready to go out and say, okay – It's Thanksgiving. We'll do everything tomorrow. We'll get our food. We'll eat. We'll be with family. And then come tomorrow at 1 in the morning, we'll go to the store and we'll try to get a $5 toaster or whatever they're planning on buying.
Right.
Now these businesses are losing, quote-unquote, losing a lot of money. So they're trying to get people before Black Friday. And now
right.
we're starting to see a trend where they're doing Black Friday business on the first day of November. So they're not even waiting until the Thanksgiving
nope.
or Black Friday. They're trying to get it month around.
But guess what? The day after Thanksgiving, once it's midnight, you're going to see those malls. People
mm-hmm.
are going to be crowding in those malls in the parking lot.
I'm going to see the inside of my eyelids, and I will wake up Black Friday, and I will be in the house in a nice
exactly.
warm house, hopefully.
Exactly. That's why the safest place to be is in front. If you're going to shop, do it cyber.
Exactly.
You can't go wrong with that.
I'm broke, so I can't go shopping anyway, so I don't give a damn. Well, besides that, Ms. Jones, what is your final thought, my dear?
Be safe out there in those Black Friday streets. I'm going to be eating and stuff in my face and scratching my ass. Happy Turkey Day.
Happy Turkey Day. Wash your hands.
Yeah, wash your hands, please. Kato.
I'm talking about
after. Oh, okay. Just making sure.
you know when you eat and the itis set in. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Well, Kato? all I can say is this. I'm looking forward to a good meal. And also, Black Friday, I'm going to be resting. And, you know, just enjoy the rest of the holiday. Just enjoy it. Just go out there. Just, hey, be with your family. Do what you can
mm-hmm.
and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we got a few minutes left. Sean Black, what is your 10-minute final thought?
My final thought is basically
sorry,
the way this week goes.
We're out of time. I'm sorry. We got to go.
No, in all reality, I want everybody to basically, knowing this week for what it means, the Thanksgiving, to be around family members, you be around your loved ones, you never know if it's the last time you be with them or if you got many, many millions of them. So, you know, my grandmother just celebrated her 90th birthday this week.
That's
and
right.
I take every single day, you don't take it for granted. So that's
no.
the way I say it. Enjoy Thanksgiving, enjoy your family, be around your loved ones, and cherish each moment.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I have tears in my eyes right now. Oh, sweet.
That was sweet. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yes.
Yeah, but you still could go to hell, Sean. But
of
besides,
course. Oh, God.
Hey, look, even in hell they have Thanksgiving, and I'm pretty sure the turkey tastes good down there, too.
Nice and crusty. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
The producer does text me, God bless you. God bless you, Sean Black. See?
Thank you.
Give the producer
good
life.
Night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night, guys. Thank you so much. And for
hey,
Sean Black, welcome. I have one more question for you. Oops. Did I hang up on Sean Black? Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I hung up on everybody. Oops. Oh, well. Ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful for you guys, first of all, to listen to the show. I am thankful for my family and all that good stuff, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? I'm thankful that I'm an alcoholic. I go out and party, and I live my life to the fullest. Well, that's it for tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen. On the Absolute Truth Show, I'm so tired. I will have another drink and go to sleep. Please tune in next week for another edition of the Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are host with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. Talking for, and Sean Black is gone, and Anitra B is still in the bathroom with five guys. Thanks so much, guys. Have a good night, and happy holidays, and be safe. Love y'all.